My name is Richard, and this is my journey to competing at one of the largest Middle Earth strategy battle game tournaments in North America. This tournament was held at the Adepticon Convention in Chicago this last March. It was Games Workshop's sponsored event in which they awarded the iconic Forge World Ring trophies. These trophies are mostly only available in tournaments in the UK, with this tournament being one of the exceptions in North America, making Adepticon one of the largest and most prestigious events on our side of the world. A little on my background as a competitive Middle Earth player. I've won my fair share of tournaments on the west coast of Canada and the US, and I've flown to the Nova Open a couple times, which is another huge Middle Earth tournament on the east coast of the US, just missing out on the podium both times, 5th in 2019 and 7th in 2022. So that's why I was hungry for my first big convention win. I had yet to attend Adepticon, so naturally it was on my bucket list for a long time. There began the seeds of potentially attending in March 2024. Unfortunately, at the time, life then got busy and I didn't end up signing up. Like many people in the hobby, I decided to build a new army to play this year. But what to play? For some background, I don't enjoy playing the cookie-cutter rank-and-file armies. No shame in that, but my playstyle requires having a bunch of shenanigans and tricks up my sleeve, even if it's using a profile not often seen at the top level of competition. Our local league hosts tournaments of all points levels, but the year-end finale, Clash on the Coast, historically, is usually set at the higher end at 800 points. So of course, the army I chose would have to have the ability to scale to this points level. After several sleepless nights, I had a eureka moment, and I decided on a historical alliance mix of Azog's Legion and Hunters. Azog's Hunters are the meta army at low points, with their high numbers and glass cannon builds, but most players would say they don't scale well to higher points levels because of their many weaknesses such as low defense and courage, as well as having limited options in that army. The other half of my army would be Azog's Legion. Most top players would agree they aren't super competitive because the two main heroes, Azog and Bolg, are so expensive that they can lose you a game if they are shut down by magic or you just have unlucky dice rolls. But my thought was, by mixing these two armies, they seem to cover some of each other's weaknesses. And of course, with the Warbats and Goblin Mercenaries, there were enough tricks to fit my playstyle. There may be something there, and I went ahead with constructing my new army. I saw Alisher, one of the top players in North America, post results from a tournament that he ran, and I asked about the details of one of the winning lists. Next thing I knew, tickets, flights, and hotel were booked. Now, what to take to Adepticon? I entertained the idea of bringing my brand new idea of Azog's Legion and Hunters, having not played a single game with them yet, even though I was now confident in my theory that there was competitive potential there. I'm lucky enough to have a group of strong players that I can bounce list ideas off of in these times of need, which include the Into the West team, as well as some of our former guests that we've had on the podcast. Looking out for me, they mostly told me my idea was hot garbage. Well, that was mostly just Andrew, but for the most part, they all told me to play some of my more infamous armies, including the Spider Queen Watcher, Witch King Spider Queen, Gwahir Galadriel, or the Battle of Five Armies Alliance. They made sense, as I've had tangible results with multiple tournament wins with these armies, but I just had a strong gut feeling of really wanting to play with my new idea, and our hobby is all about having fun first, right? So with limited amount of time to decide my army, I attended a local tournament a few weeks before Adepticon. This tournament was only 650 points compared to the 750 points for Adepticon, but my army had a very similar base and playstyle. I told myself, if I won this tournament, I'll take this army to Adepticon, but if I place anywhere else but first, I'll listen to my friend's advice and go back to a tried and true army. After three games, I ended first out of 20 players with huge margins of victory, which I was quite surprised at. With 12 victory points being the maximum score for each game, I ended with 12-0, 12-0, and 12-1. This is incredibly hard to do with any other army I've ever played. It was rare to see such high scores even in victory. I thought this could be crucial in a larger tournament where the scores are really tight and victory points are the tiebreaker. So with possibly the least preparation I've ever had before a big tournament, I locked in and submitted my Azog's Legion and Hunters for Adepticon. Having not yet played my official 750 point list yet, I was a bit nervous. I ended up getting a game against my co-host Ian days before my flight to Chicago, asking for the worst matchup possible, which must include shooting and terror. So he handpicked the Last Alliance in the scenario to the death. I ended up losing, but it got my gears turning on how to potentially deal with these problems. Armed with a practice score of 0-1, my brother Charles took me to the airport and I was on my way to Adepticon. I arrived a day early and set up a practice game with Marcus Hammond from The Durin Show. He had a similar list to Ian, but this time the scenario was destroy the supplies, and I was able to play the objectives and use my numbers to win. I'll say this about Marcus. He is one of the most insightful players I've seen in this game. I'm someone that tends to learn most of my lessons in my losses, but yet in this game, Marcus was able to point out specific key areas of improvement even in my victory. So armed with two practice games, surprisingly, I was feeling now somewhat okay about the tournament. The day before the grand tournament, we had doubles, which isn't an event I play seriously, but it's good fun with lots of beer and friends. I played with Alisher, and we ended up going 2-1. Losing to the brothers from Gonder Calls for Ale. Classy gentlemen, aside from the fact that they were running bears, Mitchell Hammond from The Durin Show and his partner ended up winning the doubles event. Congrats to them. The tournament was a pool veto event, which meant a random pool was rolled for each round, and each player takes turn vetoing one of the three scenarios, and the remaining scenario is played. Pools can't be done twice, which meant for this 6-round tournament, all the pools will be used once. For round 1, I came up against Dan. He was playing the Army of Thror, with Thror, Thrain, Young Dwalin, and Young Thorin. The pool that was rolled was Hold Objectives, which was a pool my army is already good at with my numbers and mobility. And getting to play Dwarves, these advantages were compounded. My first choice to play was Domination, due to my force being significantly more mobile, and in this scenario I can spread out the objectives. I also liked Breakthrough, as my Goblin Mercenaries and Bats could threaten the back objective. Capture and Control was still okay for me, but I liked it the least because it required the least mobility, and it allowed the Dwarves to stay within Thror's Manor effect while still contesting the objectives. So, I vetoed Capture and Control, and he vetoed Domination, which was the correct choice in my opinion. So we ended up playing Breakthrough. Bol got into his line very early. Heroic combated to threaten all three of his dwarf heroes. Bol ended up getting 12 kills, hitting the Mighty Hero special rule. It's not often that you see that. He almost killed Thrain the very first turn, and then he ended up killing Young Dwalin. Thrain later went down to a Hunter Orc. I ended up quartering him before I could kill Thror. This was fairly one-sided. The end result was a 10-0 major win. Dan was a newer player to the game, but was an absolute blast to play with a great attitude. It's always hard to see your tough dwarves go down one after another. Round 2. I played Tristan. I could tell he was an experienced player. His army was the Mordor Serpent Horde Alliance with Witch King, Sildoran, and Razgûsh. At this point, I was a bit nervous for this round, not gonna lie, as I'm coming up against the medalist in 2023 in Witch King and Sildoran. If you haven't seen our video, go check it out after. My army also struggles against terror and spellcasters, especially in the fighty pools. My armies would prefer an objective scenario against this list. Turns out it was kill the enemy pool, just as I feared. However, I did have a few outs, as I did outshoot him by a fair margin, which always helps in this pool. Lords of Battle and To the Death were close in preference for me. Neither gave me a big advantage, but I could shoot them a bit before combat hits. I liked Lords of Battle slightly more due to the fact that it's usually easier to score victory points. And also, it would be hard to kill his banner into the death as it's on Soladan. Contest of Champions was scary for me, even though I had Bolg. It would be a coin toss in seeing if Bolg could resist the Witch King's magic. Luckily, he vetoed Contest of Champions, and then I vetoed to the death. So we ended up playing Lords of Battle in round 2. The game started, and I deployed in a choke, in a very defensive position, forcing him to run up with his main force. He did try to flank me with a warband of Serpent Horde. I took him by surprise, and Bolg Tokyo Drifts in the first turn to kill a few Black Numenoreans. The mercenaries then deployed in the back line to threaten him, but Suladan ended up killing them all. My bats were able to harass his line, knocking Razgush over and over again, and it also prevented his bat from getting in. The Witch King at the end was almost sniped by Narzug the last turn. I ended up with a 10-0 major win. The game was actually pretty one-sided, partially due to Tristan's poor rolls, but he took it well, and he was a great opponent and was a pleasure to play with. Round 3, I was moved on to top table. I matched up with Scott. Scott is one of our patrons hailing all the way from Los Angeles, California. He's known for his dedication to all things Isengard. I was really looking forward to playing him for the first time, though I was also a bit nervous for this matchup. He had a good 10 models on me. Saruman Grima tandem would be tough to deal with. Saruman could neutralize Bolg, and Grima would be threatening objectives with nothing in my army to threaten him. The pool was rolled, and it was object scenarios. We both had great armies for this pool, but I felt confident in any of these. I liked Destroy the Supplies the most because he didn't have any bows and had to run across the board to me. I also had the Goblin Mercenaries to threaten his supplies, while defending my own with my 3 bats to his 1 Crabane. Seize the Prize was also tempting, as he didn't have Heroic March, but with Saruman and a Crabane, it felt like with a few bad rolls, it could end badly. My last choice was Retrieval. I still had similar advantages as in Destroy the Supplies, but I felt it may be hard to score lots of victory points here, especially if he camps his horde on the prize. So he ends up vetoing first, and he vetoes Retrieval. I veto Seize the Prize, so we end up playing Destroy the Supplies. He starts out the game by marching forward, but leaving 2 warbands to guard the supplies on the left and the right, leaving his middle supply open. He later tells me this is a trap to activate my Goblin Mercenaries. However, I think he miscalculated how far he moved his warriors up, as the middle objective was right on a terrain piece. The Goblin Mercenaries deployed right on top of the objective and cleared it before he could return. He sent the Oathmaker back to deal with this rabble goblin warband, but loses the fight. The mercenaries eventually clear another supply. Fimble and 1 Berserker rush the other side and clear the final supply. His Saruman blasts Bolg off the warg, and then, later on in the game, commands a Hunter Orc that was trapping Grima to allow him to clear one of my supplies. Once the lines clash, my Hunter Orcs and Bats took care of his wild men and orc horde. This ended up being a 12-2 major win for me. Scott is an absolute master of Isengard. He knows the army inside out, but luckily I was able to capitalize early on his mistake and just snowball my advantage to victory. Great game. Round 4. Staying on top table now for the second game. My opponent was Jordan from Wisconsin. I could tell he was a very calculating player, and I could tell he was here to win with his army composition. He had Galadriel, Theodred, Legolas, and Boromir of Gondor. It felt like something I would usually play. The pool that was rolled was the unique scenarios. This was the only pool that I didn't want against him. There was only one favorable scenario here for me, and if he was as calculating as I suspected, he would veto it. I wanted to play Fog of War to utilize my numbers and mobility. The other two scenarios felt like a lose-lose situation. Clash by Moonlight, I had to face down a bunch of throwing spears with elf shooting, backed up by Blinding Light, and then Assassination felt almost like an unwinnable matchup against Legolas, unless I guessed which hero he was trying to assassinate early and just hit him. Either way, not a good feeling. Of course, he vetoes correctly and gets rid of Fog of War. After a long deliberation, I veto Assassination, so we play Clash by Moonlight. The game starts out with a bit of a dance. Moving forward, we inch up in the darkness. Bolg was able to shrug off a command from Galadriel and hid himself from shooting as best as he could. I run in carefully. He didn't end up shooting that well, but he still ended up killing 10 models from shooting. I rush Galadriel with mercenaries in his back line, and the bats also back the mercenaries. I was able to take all the fate off Galadriel, but no wounds dealt. Theodred ends up killing Fimbul one-on-one, and Boromir kills the mercenary captain. And then in the last turn, we break each other. So this ends up as a 4-6 minor loss. Not taking away from Jordan's play, but I felt I would match up against his army in any other pool. I was truly between a rock and hard place when it came to scenario selection, but well played by Jordan. We ended day one around 9:30 p.m. After four games of 750 points, I was absolutely exhausted. But the West Coast group was still able to have a great time rehashing the day and strategizing for the next over a late dinner. Now the beginning of day two and round five. I'm currently sitting at 7 with 2 games to go, so there is still a chance at podium if I win my next 2 games. I match up with Mitchell from the Durin Show and a fellow player from the West Coast. He's always a tough opponent, and it's always harder having to face off with friends, as we both want each other to do well, especially in such a high-stakes tournament. He took the host of the Dragon Emperor with the Dragon Emperor, Rutabi, and Brogrir. The scenario pool was maneuvering. This felt fair. Reconnoiter was good for me because of my Goblin Mercenaries, while Divide and Conquer was good for him because he could easily drum to the center and it would be a nightmare to remove the Easterling Pike block from the center. Storm the Camp felt fair to the both of us, with the only downside being it would be hard to score victory points due to how the scenario usually plays out. Most of the time, camps don't get captured and it would be just either breakpoints or leader kills, which would mean a minor win. Regardless, we still did the sensible choice. I vetoed Divide and Conquer, and Mitchell vetoes Reconnoiter. So the scenario we would play is Storm the Camp. The first two turns he drums up and we both move up. The Goblin Mercenaries then fail the ambush test, turn 3, and he forces me to deploy. I had a choice, whether to play it conservative or stick with my strategy. And I just went for it. I still deployed them deep. He drums to shift most of his army to surround my mercenaries. My mercenaries have no backup and are completely surrounded. Bolg with a bat and a berserker runs in to help the mercenaries while the battle line is still approaching. Bolg resists all of Brogir's magic as he did roll quite terribly, but flops in combat with 2 highs and takes wounds from Easterling warriors. In a show of confidence, the Dragon Emperor decides to dismount to jump into Bolg and kill him with a bunch of his Easterling warriors. At the same time, Mitchell is also sending his cataphract with a drum, moving 15 inches a turn towards my camp, skirting the edges of the board. And I have one hunter orc with bow in my camp, with 2 trailing and running back to help out. The hunter orc in my camp gets really lucky and was able to snipe the cataphract as it ran into my camp. Could the one cataphract take on 3 hunter orcs over the course of a few turns? Who knows? I'm glad I didn't have to test it out. The lions clash, and hunter orcs and gundabads start killing a lot of Easterlings without the banner reroll. The battle lions continue to fight. His rolls go cold. Compounded by the lack of banner effect, I start to rack up some serious kills. In the last turn, I was able to break the Easterlings without being broken, and Fimbul heroic combats into his camp, killing the few defenders that were there, and I ended up capturing his camp. So in the course of one turn, Mitchell went from being up 3-0 to me taking the major win 9-3. Even in this win, there were plenty of mixed feelings. I was happy with my gameplay and the result, knowing I'm now competing for a podium spot, but having to take down one of my practice partners and friends from the West Coast was bittersweet. This was definitely my hardest game in this tournament. The last round, round 6, I'm currently sitting in 3rd and playing on table 2. I match up against Riders of Theoden. My opponent rocks up to the table in a custom Riders of Theoden jersey. Incredible points on theme. He had a total of 17 models with Theoden, Durnhelm, Darrowine, Elfhelm, Gamling, and Aelmer, filling out the rest with Rohan Royal Guard, but extremely hero heavy. The last pool that was left was Maelstrom of Battle. I liked my chances here because of my numbers advantage. And even though he was more mobile than me, I could still hang in that area. I liked Hold Ground here the most because it would force him to fight me rather than to keep skirmishing. And I was confident in my army to win that fight against him. And I wanted to score as high as I could in this last round to secure a podium finish. Command the battlefield was also still good because I could utilize my shooting and numbers. But I didn't want to drag out the game having to hunt down his cavalry all over the board. Heirlooms is also surprisingly good for me, but it's heirlooms, and like all competitive players, we hate this scenario. Like the gentleman that he is, my opponent vetoes heirlooms of ages past, and so I veto command the battlefield, and we play hold ground. He deploys first, Theoden rolls a 6. But then, everyone ends up rolling a 2 or 3, and he opts to not spend might, surprisingly enough. I'm not sure I agree with that decision, but he had his reasons. Bolg arrives behind Durnhelm and one Royal Guard, also close enough to Theoden. Fimbul burns 2 might to come close beside Bolg and behind Theoden. I ended up killing both warbands within 2 turns. He realizes his only out for the win is to break himself and hope for the game to end as soon as possible, as he only had 17 models and he was currently sitting in the center. In the next turn, I break him. I was able to also position my army to fully surround the center the following turn before we started rolling for the game end. I win the roll off and get a full surround. He calls hero combats with all his heroes, but I kill everything but his heroes and swarm the center. He rolls a 1 right away and the game ends. It was a 12-0 major win. So the final result came to be, I came in 2nd out of 85 players. Alisher ended up winning the event for the 2nd year in a row. I really had the best time in this event. I wasn't able to win it all, but I am proud of my play and being able to podium with a list many top players have written off. And of course, the best part of any tournament was catching up with friends as well as making new friends too. I even made a new friend from Germany. Shout out to Max. I also wanted to shout out our sponsor, Baron of Dice. I used all their dice all tournament long and they served me well. They got a great selection of Middle Earth themed dice. Go check them out and use our promo code WEST for 5% off. And thanks to all our patrons, especially the ones who came to Adepticon, we had a very strong showing with 4 finishes in the top 10. Come join our chats in Discord and check out our extra content, link in the description below. And also shout out to all of you who came up to me in Adepticon to tell me that you watched the show. It really means a lot, and it was great meeting all of you. Adepticon was truly a world-class event. Well done by Josh, Ray, and the rest of the Chicago team. I highly recommend this event for any Middle-earth player. I'll definitely be back to try for gold. Thanks for listening to my story. Until next time on Into the West.